You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network. Visit bpn.fm to discover more.
As Patty's Reno Sweeney used to say,
the world has gone a little mad today, so
let's look at Broadway in a broader way.
With broads like Liza, Bette, and Stritch,
we're two gays who are Marilyn Mays, bitch,
and that's a couple cast-offs. We're gonna give it to you straight, a couple cast-offs. Whose favorite things to do is to appreciate? Let's name that belt and feel the thrill of another rousing round of Dolly Concert Kill at Cast-Offs. Spilling Broadway diva tea. It's Cast-Offs for me.
With Ben and Daniel.
Who do you think you are?
Welcome to Cast-Offs on Broadway Podcast Network. I am very excited to be here. I'm Ben Rimmelauer with my lovely co-host, Daniel Nolan.
Hey, y'all. We are so excited to be joined by our lovely guest today, a fellow Southern boy just like me.
Southern man, if I'm looking at this bearded daddy on screen in front of me correctly. Ooh. And it's wonderful actor, writer, just honestly a legend, Jeffrey Self. We're so excited
to have you. Hi, guys.
Jeffrey.
Where are you from in the South?
Well, Oklahoma. It's kind of not the technical South, but
I mean it is. That's that's Southern. I don't consider it
culturally.
Southern,
culturally, yeah, maybe not geographically.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, at least you guys have a musical named after you. So I feel like that doesn't count. That makes you not count.
I know. For such a red state, it's crazy because we're the only state with a show tune for our state song.
Is that the official state song?
Yes.
I love that.
It sure is. And all the football games, they sing it and play it. So it's really just
incentive to get you to those games, really. If you're a Roger and Hammerstein kind of person. Hold on. I'm trying to pick up my dog to put in my lap so he stops. There we go. There he is.
What's your doggie's name?
This is Cheech. He just got his summer haircut.
That's kind of how my hair looks during the summer, too.
Yeah, it's very cute. Anyway, thanks for having me, guys.
Well, yes, we had to have you when we decided to do a fantasy casting draft of MAME.
Yes.
Obviously, the first person I thought of, well, was Angela Lansbury, but she was not available.
Yeah.
And then I thought of you. And I know you're a MAME fan for life.
I'm a MAME fan for life. Do you think, just going back to Angela Lansbury for a second, do you think she's ever been on a Zoom or like something like whatever this is?
I think she definitely has. Yes. Ugh. And I'll tell you why. I don't know if I've told this story in the pod before, but Ben and I were in Provincetown doing our show last September. Uh-huh. And we were wearing our Broken Records Patti LuPone P-Town, PS for Patti shirts, merch.
Yeah.
And so, you know, all these gays were coming up to us, complimenting us at tea. And one of the ones who came up to us, we got to talking with him, and he told us he is Angela Lansbury's assistant. Oh. And I was like, oh my goodness, well, in my bag back at the hotel, I have my Murder, She Wrote crop top. I'm going to wear it tomorrow. Would you take a photo of me and send it to Angela? And he was like, of course. So the next day I wear it and I find him. He takes a photo of us and sends it to her. And then as he's like typing like the explanation, like, this is my friend Daniel, he loves you, blah, blah, blah. Like a split second later, she replies like a paragraph of text and she's like, oh my God, I love it. How are you, Tom? Blah, 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 blah. So she had obviously been like already on her phone, you know, playing words with friends or whatever. So, so apparently she is very tech savvy.
Oh, she was reaction emojiing. I mean, she was I wouldn't be surprised if she was on TikTok. It was really something.
That really shocks me. Anyway, all right, going back to MAME. But I'm glad to know that Angela Lansbury is plugged in technologically.
She should get one of those, what's it called, cameos?
Yeah, she can make a lot of money.
I mean, I would pay top dollar.
I'm sure she's really struggling for cash right now, too.
Well, she could raise money for Broadway Cares or something.
That's true. That's true.
For the cause. Now, Jeffrey, have you ever seen MAME on stage?
Yes. So the first time I ever saw MAME, probably, I think before I even saw the movie, even, was a high school in my hometown did MAME when I was a kid. A high school, which is such a weird high school choice. And so the first time I ever saw MAME was in a black box theater, which is wild. Probably like 90 seats. My cousin Drew was Beauregard. I remember he was really frustrated because he was like the star of the community theater. I mean, of the high school theater. So he was really frustrated that they were doing MAME because not a lot for him to do. Mm. They did My Fair Lady the next year and he got to play Henry Higgins. It was great. But
out to cousin Drew.
Shout out to Drew's Henry Higgins, folks. Still thinking about it. Still talking about it. But they did MAME and I remember loving it. And I remember, though, thinking that, like, why isn't there a set? They didn't have a set at all. Like, it was just, like, MAME on a bare stage. I think there was, like, maybe a staircase. But otherwise, MAME on a bare stage with teenagers. But I still came away being like, this is a great fucking show. And then I very quickly thereafter rented the movie and obviously watched the Vaseline movie.
The musical, the MAME musical or anti-MAME?
Oh, so sorry. The musical. And then though, when I was in high school, there was this like dinner theater that like existed sort of about like 45 minutes outside of my town. And it was like in this like weird old building. It was in like, was sort of like a half antique store, but like upstairs they did like dinner theater, but it was like this sort of like display of antiques, but people would sit there and it would like eat really bad food. But they would do like music, like the plays that musicals were based on. Like, so they did like the play of whatever Oklahoma is based on.
Green Grow the Lilacs.
Yeah. Like they did that. And they did The Matchmaker, obviously. They did a bunch of them. So though when I was like 16, they did Anti-MAME and they let me direct it. Only did I direct Anti-MAME, I don't know if you've ever looked at that script. It's very dense. It's lots of characters, lots of settings. Really not good to produce in a upstairs of an antique store. So I like condensed it, but not only did I direct it, I played older Patrick and, very, 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 very inappropriately played Ito, the butler. I'm sure there. I often wonder if there's like a video or any of it out there.
I hope there isn't.
I hope there isn't, but I kind of wonder if there is. But I got really into Anti-MAME at that time. I don't think I've ever seen a professional production. I mean, I've seen like bootlegs. I think I watched the like bootleg of Ebersol or at least clips of it. I've seen clips of obviously Baranski. Was it Juliet Prowse at Hollywood Bowl? Who was it at Hollywood Bowl? No, it was
Michelle Lee.
And Ebersol as Vera.
Yeah.
Oh.
The great switcheroo. what was your first MAME experience?
Well, I remember watching both movies as a kid. Sort of conflating them in my mind because Roz Russell was also in the Gypsy movie that I had seen. It kind of, MAME and Gypsy were just kind of like one thing in my head. I remember loving the things that I remember about it, but I probably got bored when I was older and tried to like, you know, sit through it again. Yeah. But I intend to continue lying as I have been that I saw the production at the Alex Theater in Glendale in 1993, starring Terry Ralston as MAME with, what's her name? Gretchen Weiler as Vera. But
you definitely told me that you saw that. But
yeah, I lean pretty hard on that lie, but it's actually not true. And I need to say it again because I might want Terry Ralston to do one of our live shows. So I intend to stick to that story, but it's not actually the case. I didn't see it, and I've never seen it.
Right. I've never seen it either.
Really? Never?
Mm-mm, never.
Well, people don't really do it. I mean...
No.
It's too expensive. I mean, they don't have the creativity to do it on a bare stage and double cast the director as young Patrick and Ito.
No one's bold enough. No one's bold enough. It's like... Yeah, there's like too... I guess there's like just too many people in it. Also, I would imagine it probably, does it hold up? Like, you kind of need like a full rewrite of the book, probably.
Yeah, as long as Harvey doesn't do it.
Oh. I mean, I was just thinking about that when I was washing my hair earlier and listening to the recording. It really does need like a full ensemble, full orchestra. Like someone with a lot of money, like Lincoln Center, is the one who needs to do it, because I don't want them cutting any corners.
Yeah, I don't want, like, I don't want Vera, you know, playing the clarinet or anything.
Certainly not. Oh, God.
It is just, I think another reason, though, besides the budget, that it hasn't been done is because it is so hard to cast. I mean, I think we were talking about this maybe at our show or maybe at dinner or something, Daniel, like that. I think sometimes if I could go back in time and see one musical, I would see Mame. Even though, like, part of me wants to see Merman and Gypsy or Patty and Evita, like, I feel like I know what those were like, you know?
Right. Yeah. Yeah. And there's so many other good ones available also.
Yeah. And I totally, and I feel like there's something that's still missing in my mind about Angela as Mame. Like, when I watch Roz Russell and she's so just like brilliant and like incinerating on all those like innuendos and like where she's like insulting somebody but they don't even know it, you know?
Yeah.
So Eve Arden, you know?
Yeah.
And like, I can't imagine Angela that way, but obviously she had some quality that, you know, I sort of instinctively know most of our ladies lack, but I'm not really sure what it is.
Yeah, I mean, I don't, every time I picture Angela in Mame, I don't, I mean, this is maybe a controversial thing to say, but I'm like, I don't think she's like the ideal choice for it.
I've always, folks,
I have many a time said to Cole Escola that I think it should be reversed, that Carol Channing should have been Mame and Angela should have been the original Dolly.
Oh, wow.
Because
fighting words.
Because I believe Carol as like a former flapper, you know, like I can see her being this like former party, this like party girl, this like lady that everybody wants to like
a jazz baby,
a jazz baby, yeah. Whereas, and I can imagine like Angela being this like lady that everybody goes to for like to do their fit to, for their problems and to solve everything for them and to leave everything to her. Yeah. Like I don't believe that Carol Channing is like capable of juggling that many balls as Dolly Levi. Like all that stuff she says she can do at the beginning, I'm like, that bitch can't do any of that.
Yeah,
she's a mess. Whereas Angela Lansbury, you're like, oh yeah, she's got it under control.
That's hilarious.
She's got it all.
I also think, though, you saying that about Angela, I do think that's kind of going back to what Ben's saying about we just don't have the context for Angela in that sort of role. Like, because we really know her, like, kind of like Dottie, Daffy Angela, like in, you know, Dear World or Death on the Nile or as Mrs. Lovett. And then we know, like, grandmotherly comforting Angela with Murder, She Wrote. But we really don't know, like, you know, classy, smart, like, sleek and upper crust Angela.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because I'm also like I believe, like, isn't the whole thing with Mame that like, how is this person gonna be a parent? And it's like with Angela, I'm like, oh, she's so maternal, like she's such
Mrs.
a parent.
Potts, yeah.
Where again, Carol Channing, I'm like, don't leave a baby with that. Like
she'll eat it. But that might be like what's also probably dated about the show. Like I feel like it's not so much that she's like a mess as much as that like she's not conservative. Like, you know,
right.
I think maybe we can't relate to what is considered like not responsible about her. Because like it's very easy for us to imagine like a progressive single woman as a good parent, but maybe that really is just what they couldn't deal with.
Yeah, that's probably the case.
Well, why don't we get into it and see who
we'll see
we
what
all,
comes up.
So I guess first up is the much coveted role of Gloria Upson.
Who, the lady that played that in the movie, I forget her name. She just died, right?
She's the one who plays Vicky in Parent Trap?
Yes, she just died like a week ago.
Oh, R.I.P., I love her. She's the perfect, like, bitch, like, woman you love to hate.
a perfect tribute from three men who can't remember the name.
Listen, I've never seen Parent Trap. I barely remember the woman.
It's not for me. I don't think it's for either of us. Haley Mills goes over my head.
Oh, I love Haley Mills.
I'm glad she existed or exists, but it's not my cup of tea. But okay, Gloria Epson. I mean, such a good role. Such
really top draw.
Really top draw. I mean, like now, like if I were casting it like with someone alive at this moment, like I feel like Chloe Fineman would be spectacular.
She'd get the laughs.
She'd get the laughs. I feel like that's the kind of role too that you want someone like a Chloe Fineman who can come in and just like what the fuck just happened? She's just walked away with the whole show. So I feel like a Chloe Fineman as Gloria would be a stellar choice.
So well done.
I love it. Do you want me to go next, Ben, and then you'll get the double?
Sure.
Well, in a similar vein, my choice for Gloria Epson would be a young Reese Witherspoon. So like,
I love these choices.
Like
I
election, love that. Like election yeah. era Reese. Oh.
Totally.
Just like really, I mean, she played Rachel's sister on Friends.
Yeah.
And
oh yeah, like, it's very that.
Very that, like kind of comes in just like kind of spoiled and, you know, but really funny and gets the laughs. Yeah. So.
I'm so into this. God, my choices for this are so basic. I want to shoot myself. And you guys have made me realize just how humorless and miserable not only is my main production going to be, but possibly the rest of my natural born life. But my first choice for Gloria Upsom is the unnamed gummer, Louisa Jacobson from The Golden Age.
I do like
I don't hate that. I don't hate that.
I do like throwing a gummer a bone.
I like throwing a bummer. Yeah. I mean, I also love having a gummer involved. Like, yeah. You know.
It means Meryl will come see it.
You know, yeah, stick with me, you guys, because my second choice for Gloria Upsom was Mamie Gummer. And my third, you counted two just for the name. And my third choice for Gloria Upsom was Grace Gummer. So I'm guaranteeing a gummer.
Gotta get a gummer.
I think it's good. I mean, I think it sounds like your production is definitely a little more,
top drawer.
I just think maybe a little like less, you know, humor.
Listen, Bart Scher is going to direct it at Lincoln Center. So yeah. I'm the one who's actually in the pocket.
It's a bit stark, but I'm fine with it. I mean, you know, she's ultimately one scene. So you could, there are ways to save that production.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. And she would definitely be available.
They're definitely available.
Well, okay, so now I go next. And are the Upsoms we do as a couple in one fell swoop?
Yeah, okay. Let's do them as a couple.
Okay, so now you guys turned me on so much with your, like, comedy choice, especially, like, maybe, I mean, I kind of like the idea of early aughts Reese best, but I think Chloe Fineman feels gettable. And so maybe sticking with the Chloe Fineman choice in my mind as Gloria, I would cast as her parents, Bill Hader and Kristen Wiig.
Ooh, oh, I like fun. Them. I like so them fun. Doing that.
Just the douche family.
That's hilarious. For mine, I chose Blythe Danner and Leslie Jordan.
That's
just
fun.
Like really leaning into the comedy.
That's really fun.
Genius. Has he ever been, has Mr. Upsom ever been played like as a fucking like screaming queen before?
I don't know, really but it's all fun. I want.
Yeah, that's real good.
And with Blythe Danner, because I also feel like Blythe Danner's tall. So
she's
like,
very tall, very tall.
Visually, that's a really good combo.
This is insane because can you imagine if Barbara Streisand comes to see this show? And, like, she's always wishing she were Blythe Danner's part. And yet, like, she's not going to wish that she wasn't Mame. She's not going to wish she was Mrs. Upsom. But, like, she might.
Wait, does Barbara Streisand have, like, a thing about Blythe Danner?
I just feel like when they were together in Prince of Tides and when they were together in like Meet the Fockers,
right.
I just feel like all Barbara ever wanted was to be just like the like elegant blonde wasp woman, you know,
yeah,
casually just giggling in a girlish way on the side.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I did not think about that, but yeah. Okay. My choice. I can't remember this lady's name, but bear with me. Did you guys ever see The New Adventures of Old Christine, that sitcom with Julia Louis-Dreyfus?
No,
my mom loves it.
It's a great show. I highly recommend it. It's a good binge, if you like a good like pre-bed kind of situation. Mm. I think it's the funniest she's ever been, actually. But
Funnier than Veep?
I mean, no. But I prefer Christine to Seinfeld. I'm not really a Seinfeld person.
Gotcha.
But anyway, there are two ladies in that. And they play these like moms that she doesn't like. Hold on, I'm gonna look it up. That don't like her. And one of them, I think, is perfect for Miss Upson. New Adventures of, and she was also in an unaired pilot that Eric Gilliland created. So I mean,
so
I'm
we
really
can get to her. Eric will give us her email.
Okay, her name is Trisha O'Kelly.
Oh.
I don't know what else she's really done, but I think she would be
gal.
She'd be great as the mom. And then
I know this face.
Oh yeah, I recognize her.
You know this face. Yeah, right? She'd be great.
Yeah.
And
flawless.
Especially with Chloe Fineman as the daughter.
Totally.
And
totally.
And Chris Parnell as the dad.
Oh yeah, stuffy.
Oh yeah, that's good.
Yeah, that's my casting.
Oh yeah, he's really good. He has the face for it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so now Jeffrey goes again.
Yeah, who should we do now? Should we do
Patrick, right?
Patrick.
And this is grown up Patrick, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I mean,
you can do young Patrick if you want to, but
I'm not going to sit here and name off little boys. That's just
that's a different podcast. I think you can assume we film it like, what's his name? Linklater style. And it's like over the course of 30 years and he actually ages.
Yeah. Great. I love that. What a great use of resources in this current climate of our world. Okay. I mean, I want a strapping, handsome, straight up leading man. I mean, my first thought in my mind was Armie Hammer, but then I remembered that we don't like him anymore because he eats people. So not Armie Hammer, but I guess he's too old too, but I was going to say Ryan Gosling.
If we can cast Ethel Merman, we can certainly cast Ryan Gosling.
That's true. So let's go with Ryan Gosling. I want like a tall, blonde, handsome, piercing eyes, charming, you know, check off all the boxes that Ryan Gosling checks off.
Mm-hmm.
Also, I just like thinking about Ryan Gosling.
Same.
I love that. Yeah, Ryan Gosling, good one. If I was are we doing like movie casting or Broadway casting? Because I would cast different ones for different.
Well, let's hear them both, I guess. I mean, yeah. I think this production transcends media.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
This is the ultimate. This is like done like in St. Peter's Gate.
Okay, like so it's a movie. It's a Hollywood Bowl concert. It's a NBC Live. Like it's everything.
I love it. Okay, so I guess my Patrick, Ben, you're going to love this, would be our friend and object of desire, Pascal Pastrana.
Oh, God, delete.
Which, he doesn't even have, like, huge credits. I think he was doing Mean Girls on Broadway before the pandemic, and now he's doing a tour of something, but...
What's his name? Pascal?
Pascal Pastrana.
Okay, I'm looking at
him.
I have some photos I can send you if you want.
Just his Instagram is PV Pastrana.
PV Pastrana. Okay, that'll be easier than Google. PV.
Look at his Insta. There are some nice thirsty photos.
Yeah, is he queer?
No.
No, he's straight, but...
he's not gonna follow him then.
But yeah, I mean, his body is amazing. I mean, talk about bringing the cakewalk back into style.
Wow.
I mean, he's just so luscious, and he's also like a very talented actor, performer, singer.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
he'd be good. He has the right energy.
Mm.
Anyway, all right, Benji.
Well, I do love y'all's choices, but staying true to the basicness of my soul, I went for this a little bit. I didn't want to cast somebody who has like a cunty edge or anything, because I just want him to be likable even when he's acting like a dick.
Yeah.
So I want Jonathan Groff.
Oh, yeah. Mm. Yeah.
Just my forever love.
Sure. You love him. No, that's great.
I do love Jonathan Groff.
You love him.
Although when you say Pascal Pastrana, it's like Groff who? But yeah, I do love Jonathan Groff.
No, yeah, you're right. And Groff's voice on that like song, the like letter song. I mean,
oh my god,
so sexy.
That really is like the what do you call it? Like probably the most underrated song on the recording, because Patrick really sounds amazing in that.
Yeah, he does.
Song.
I agree.
I mean, honestly, like. I didn't necessarily feel this way in Into the Woods, but when I think of like the voice type that would just like be able to just like sell that number so that you remember it for the rest of your days, I think of Gavin Creel.
Well, sure.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
There's no such thing as like a song that Gavin Creel doesn't just nail. Like he is.
I believe that song would be Hello Little Girl and Agony.
Ah! Oh, really? No,
oh, was he in that? Oh, right. He was in the City Center thing. Mm-hmm. I mean, his voice is just so sexy, though. I mean,
his voice is like the greatest Broadway tenor voice of all time.
I'm not going to say this. I'll say this. I used to, whatever song he sings on the Hair Actors Fund concert album, I forget what it is, but it is the only piece of music that has sexually aroused me in the past.
Whoa.
Wow. I love it. Yeah. That's like your version of Elaine Stritch having an orgasm.
Yes. During Edward Albee. Yeah. Exactly.
I mean, I don't love him in every single role, although I do love his albums, but him in Hello Dolly, just like that moment when he slams down the basement door and, you know, out there, put on your Sunday clothes. I mean, I think he's so gorgeous, but that to me is not even about him being sexy. It's just about like, that's one of the few times, I think you feel this way too, probably, Daniel, like that a man in musical theater gives me my full thrilling, like diva, like
totally.
Live for it moment.
Totally. Well, and honestly, when I listen to that cast recording, I never listen to the Bette songs. I only listen to the Gavin songs. Like those are the only ones that I think are like, you know, top drawer. When you look at all of the Dolly recordings we have out there, his Cornelius is just the greatest.
Yeah. Oh, it's the best. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, wait,
all
who's
right,
next?
That's the Patricks. So I do the double now. Right.
Yes.
So now we do Gooch or
Beauregard?
Or Beauregard. Yeah, Beauregard.
Let's save the women for
ladies,
the end.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so for Beauregard, I'm going to go for Baroque and the star vehicle. Why not? I want Matthew McConaughey.
Oh, great.
Wow.
Love it.
Love that.
Love that. Great idea. Great choice.
That's
love
a
that
great choice.
Just his golden arms in that Georgia sun.
Totally.
Oh, God. I have no... This is the one that I'm really flying by the seat of my pants. I didn't write anyone down. I was like, oh, it'll come to me. But let's see, you're doing Matthew McConaughey. I definitely like that kind of energy.
Mm-hmm.
It's similar to what I was thinking, actually.
Oh, fuck. Jeffrey, why don't you go? And then let me do some Googling.
Mine is actually similar to the Matthew McConaughey, but I went more music-based, which is a weird move for this casting since he doesn't have a song, but maybe
we can give him the song from the movie that "Loving You Is So Pretty."
Oh, yeah, that's good. In this new book, we can make
by,
that
written
work.
By someone whose name is not Harvey Fierstein.
I was thinking Tim McGraw. the country.
Oh, like, oh, I like country. That.
Mm-hmm. I think Tim McGraw is so good. I don't know if you've ever seen that movie, Country Strong, with Gwyneth Paltrow.
No, but now I will.
Oh, it's a great, you should watch it. It's really good. She plays this, like, big country music superstar. It's basically like a Star is Born kind of, not really Star is Born, because that's about a star kind of on the rise. But she's playing this, like, Reba McEntire level star. And he plays her husband and manager, and she's like an addict, and it's like about her as a mess, and very, very weird to cast Gwyneth Paltrow, but she's really good in it, and she sings, and the album itself is fantastic. But Tim McGraw plays her husband, and he's really, really, really fucking good in it. He's a good actor, and he's so sexy, and I think he'd be a great Beauregard.
This is very intriguing.
That's great. I love that.
Watch Country Strong. It's really fun.
Oh God,
I can donate one of mine to you.
Yeah, why don't I phone a friend? What's yours?
My second choice, who's sort of in the middle between Matthew McConaughey and Tim McGraw, is Harry Connick Jr.
Oh, wonderful. Yeah, that's mine. That is someone I would have chosen if I'd have thought of him. Perfect.
Yeah, wonderful. That's good. I like that.
You know, people are always asking me if I'm on Ozempic, and let me tell you, I do not mind them asking me that. But I'm not on Ozempic. They especially ask me that when they see me eating dessert or desserts or all the crap I eat when I'm out. But my secret is that when I'm home, when I'm by myself, I'm eating Factor. Factor sends me restaurant quality meals that are ready to heat and eat whenever I am. No prepping, no cooking, no cleanup except for like my fork. And now you can enjoy Factor Meals too. Go to factormeals.com/giantsinthesky50 and use code giantsinthesky50 to get 50% off. That's code giantsinthesky50 at factormeals.com/giantsinthesky50 to get 50% off.
The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. Based on Essie Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that, with brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at outsidersmusical.com.
Yeah. I love that glass, Ben. That's so chic.
Thank you. From eBay, a 32-ounce.
Yes. Oh, I need
Coca-Cola glass.
I know you love a giant cup.
Well, all the giant cups that I buy normally are plastic. And
is that glass?
This is glass, because you can't get glasses this big except these like souvenir things from the past.
I love that. I love that you can only drink things from the past.
Because I stopped drinking.
Yeah, I like it.
I need to invest in some bigger glasses. Okay, wait, we all did Bogart. So actually, since I made you go ahead of me, you go again, Jeffrey.
So you're, now we're into Gooch.
Now Gooch, things heat up.
Gooch, yeah. Territory.
Well, I mean, there's so many ways this could go. There are two in particular. I think the most obvious, and would she would nail it, there's two ways this could go, okay? So there's one of my choices is, like, obvious, gonna nail it. We know exactly what she's gonna do. It's similar. It's in line with what's been done before. She's gonna nail it. Rachel Dratch, we know she's gonna slam dunk.
Mm-hmm.
Alternatively, if you wanted to do something a little more, like, I don't quite know how this is going to work, but I know it's going to be really good, would be a Jennifer Coolidge Gooch.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, it's against really what she normally does, because it's like Gooch isn't sexy, but obviously she, like, has this, like, moment. But I think, like, you could do, I would really like to see what Jennifer Coolidge does with it. And also, I mean, her singing I Lived would be tremendous. Yeah. So I'm gonna say it's, for me, it's a tie between Coolidge and Rachel Dratch. It depends on how you want this production to go.
Rachel would be so wonderful. I just saw POTUS and she was so hilarious.
So hilarious.
And
that was really fun.
So such a physically comic performance, and she would be wonderful as Gooch. I mean, I would not be surprised if she's the one they choose for the eventual revival.
It's funny to talk about Rachel and Coolidge in the same breath because you know that Rachel did all the workshops of Legally Blonde, the musical, in the Jennifer Coolidge role.
Wow.
Really?
That's crazy.
And I believe the reason that they didn't cast her was because they wanted a better singer. So I always imagined that she must have sang pretty badly. But then she sings in POTUS and she sounds good.
Huh.
And I would have certainly
Sing? What does she sing?
She sings along with what's her name in that karaoke number.
Right, but, I mean, I forget. Yeah, they have that.
But she has solo lines. I mean, you know, it's pretty great. Actually, and she sang in one of our Countess Luann shows. I mean, you know, it's certainly like a character actor voice, but it's
great.
More than Playa. I would have much rather seen her in Legally Blonde than Orfe.
Sure.
But it's funny because you wouldn't think of her and Jennifer Coolidge on the same ground, but I guess in some ways they could be.
Yeah, that's so interesting. I had no idea she had played that part in a workshop. Yeah, how weird.
Me neither. Me neither. Okay, so for Gooch again, this doesn't really work out with the rest of mine timeline wise, but this is in an alternate universe where it will. So for Gooch, I chose Diane Wiest.
Love
Hannah and her sisters era Diane Wiest, just like very scatterbrained, very fragile, very easily stressed out.
Love that.
And she would sing it well, I think, because you get a little glimpse of her singing voice in Hannah and her sisters, and she has a sweet voice.
It's beautiful. Yeah, it's beautiful.
So she could sing that little Gooch's song really well.
Oh, she'd be so good. I love that choice.
Guess who sang that at the Jerry Herman Memorial?
Oh,
at the memorial. I think I know, because I think she also did it at the...
Ben.
Lorna, I knew that, right?
Lorna left. I knew that would get Ben
Is that performance the one... Is it the memorial or the Hollywood Bowl that she's, like, wearing the pregnant belly?
That was the most... That was the memorial, but maybe at the Hollywood Bowl as well.
At the Hollywood Bowl, she sang my song with the pregnant belly, and she sang it great.
Wait, she did? Oh, your song. Oh, I thought you meant my song being... Oh, your song is the Elton John song. You're talking about she sang the Dorothy Loudon song?
Yes, exactly, sir.
I love... You performed that on Fire Island once, and you're referring to it as your song.
Twice! I performed it on Fire Island twice.
My song.
I love it.
Well, okay, so for mine, for Gooch, I had written down some more standard choices, one of whom I kind of think could tie together a lot of threads of this. But Daniel, the way you were describing what you were looking for actually made me think of someone else that I would really love to have seen do it.
Mm.
So I'm kind of torn. I'll say them both, actually. The person that I think you made me think of who would be sort of have it's she probably was considered for it at some point was the original Amy and Company and Vera, different Vera from Mel's Diner, Beth Howland.
Oh, yeah. Beth would be really good.
Such a Gooch type. I mean, of course, I had Rachel on my list, but a person that I think could really play the Gooch character, except I don't know if you guys are familiar with the Jerry's Girls cast recording, which is not with Dorothy Loudon, but, you know, it's got Andrea. And Andrea. Andrea sings Gooch's song and doesn't play the character at all, of course, but she sings it like she just belts the daylights out of it.
Yeah.
And I feel like somebody that could maybe do the comedy and sing it in full belt, because it's pretty high, that song. I mean, even if you lower it, it's just got to go high because it's rangy. I think would be Megan Hilty.
Oh, love. Mm. Love that. Yeah, that's great.
Wonder,
for some reason, I feel like she's played that or she sang that somewhere.
Oh,
well, didn't she play like in Noises Off? She played like the like some role that was equally I conflating that with something else?
There is a character like that in Noises Off, but she played the sexy someone.
Yeah. Didn't she win a Tony for that?
Yeah.
Maybe
she was definitely nominated.
Yeah.
sometimes, as our friend Dan Fortune would say, the nomination's the award.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, it's Vera time.
Oh, gosh.
I mean, there's so many places this could go. I mean, are you... Who goes first?
Ben, you, right? The snakey.
Oh, this is the part two of the double, right? Okay. Yes, so many ways this could go. You know, I mean, much in the line of, like, the famous Judy Elaine fantasy of, like, doing the two roles in rep. You know, you can't be a good Mame if you kind of couldn't also be a good Vera,
yeah.
I think.
Yeah.
And, you know, to some extent, that means that a lot of Veras are also potentially good Mames.
Yeah.
And so I tried to think of people that, like, I really think are so edgy that they're really just a Vera, not a Mame.
Yeah, I think that's the way to
at
go.
At least in my eyes, you know. And so I think the person that, I don't know, I don't know that she could really play the, like, great star of the theater, like, fanciness enough. Because I do think Vera should be a little pretentious in that B. Arthur way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I just think that she could be such a ham and such a drunk and so scene-stealing. And I just want her in everything. And so I went with Bridget Everett for my first choice.
Love it. Love it.
Interesting. I like it. I like it. I like that. It's an interesting, it's a different direction for Vera, but I like it.
I mean, also, it's like, you know, I still think of Bridget as, like, a downtown kid, you know, but right. If they just keep throwing, like, these, like, series leads at her, eventually she's just a veteran of stage and screen.
I think she already is, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like her. I like that idea. I like that she would do, it would be a very different, yeah, I like it. I have an idea for who would be a good Mame with that, but we'll get to that.
I'm also picturing Bridget's Mame, you know, just like, but like, instead of like the Upper East Side or whatever, it's just like, you know, it's like the biggest city in like Kansas or whatever. And instead of like a champagne bottle, she just has like that like paper bag with the wine bottle inside.
That's funny.
Okay, so my Vera, oh God. I mean... So my first choice was someone who's like, who wouldn't do the movie. I'll say both of them. But like, if this was like a production I was directing somewhere, I would love, for Vera, I would love Jackie Beat.
Oh, yeah.
Because she can sing and she also has just that energy and she's so funny.
Yep.
But for the movie, for like a movie version with like top stars, oof. It's so hard. You know, I'm going to say Susan Sarandon.
Oh, yes.
I love that. I love a Sarandon Vera. That's a great idea.
Mm-hmm.
That's a really great idea.
Deborah Messing as Mame.
I was just thinking
Never, ever. Deborah Messing can stage manage.
She'd be such a bad stage manager.
She would.
Just like reporting everybody to Equity all the time.
Oh, always. Just, yeah. Constantly on the phone with it. Like, she never even hangs up. She just keeps them on an active line.
Just like subtweeting everyone in the cast.
Oh, what a nightmare.
Yeah, no, thank you.
Yeah, no thanks. No thanks at all. Okay. Obviously, there's so many ways this could go. There's so many ways. I mean, I think, okay, I'm narrowing it down to two different ways. And they're drastically different. But they're both contemporary people. Because my production's contemporary. deal with it. Okay. Option. I think this is the less interesting of the two, but I think she'd be fucking great. Is Helena Bonham Carter.
I love The Crown.
Yes, exactly.
I like.
But I think that would be great. And I think that's probably like the more like I could actually see that happening kind of thing. Like if they like did that movie when they were talking about doing the movie of Auntie Mame with Tilda, like she'd be a great hero, totally. Fully works in that world. But yeah. The one that I think would be really interesting, and I also know who I think would be a good Mame with this, would be Dominique Jackson from Pose. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yes. She's got that pretentious stagey edge down.
Exactly. Oh, yes. She'd be great.
Her character's name is Electra in Pose. Yeah. Her character's name. I loved her in Pose. And I think she would be such a good Vera. And like,
totally.
Especially how tall she is. Like, so just like menacing and terrifying. Yeah. Like, between her like having to deal with a little boy. Like, funny, so good.
Yeah. She's kind of like Grace Jonesy.
It's very Grace Jones. Jones. Very Grace Jones. Who would, I mean, also be a great Vera.
Yeah. Great Vera.
Not wrong.
Yeah. So I'm going to, I think my top choice is Dominique Jackson.
That's a great choice. That means, Jeffrey, you have the honor of casting Mame first.
Okay. Well, again, I mean, as we know, there's so many ways this could go.
So many. Oh my God.
We might need to do a couple of rounds.
We can do several rounds for sure.
Yeah. I think you could go Allison Janney could be a good Mame.
Are you not worried about the singing?
I'm a little worried about the singing.
Yeah.
The person that I was really picturing with Dominique Jackson, because I think they'd look really good together, and I believe them as like gal pals that have been like friends forever, would be Vanessa Williams.
Oh.
And I think that Vanessa Williams would be a good Mame. Like, I think we've seen her do the like kind of that kind of jabby, like with the way, like you were saying, like kind of with a jab that you don't even know she's jabbing you kind of thing. Like, that's kind of what she did in Ugly Betty. Like
100%.
But she's also got, like, I mean, her singing If You Walked Into My Life, like, I fully can picture that. I fully know what that would be. And at the same time, I fully imagine, like, someone falling in love, like, madly in love with her. Totally. Her, like, having this history of, like, men sort of, like, throwing themselves at her. I can picture her doing like That's How Young I Feel and like fully dancing
very
with it.
Much so.
I think she would be my, she's also like, I believe that like they could do a revival of Mame starring Vanessa Williams. Like, I think that
totally.
I love Vanessa so much and everything you said, except my thing about Vanessa is like, she has a great, like, smooth pop voice, but, like, I always find her really underwhelming in this, like, Broadway belt track. Like, I wish that she had been Phyllis in some production of Follies. Mm-hmm. I would love to see her as Desiree in Night Music. Mm-hmm. But I feel like when the show starts with It's Today and she's crooning, I mean, even in fucking POTUS, in the stupid curtain call, they all come downstage and just sing, like, whatever, like, pop, like, anthem, they're just silly, like, dancing in place. Like, everybody else is like, and I need you now, tonight. And Vanessa's like, and I need you more than ever.
I get that. Yeah, because you do want someone who's going to, like, just, like, be really grab you by the balls.
Yeah,
with that
light
song.
It up.
Yeah.
I get that.
So for my, oh God, I have so many, but I mean, going with the rest of my choices, and actually with the rest of my choices, this, well, maybe not totally, but it might kind of work out chronologically with all these people. So I think if I did it with Diane Wiest as Gooch and Susan Sarandon as Vera, for Mame, I would like Cher.
Yeah.
Well, it almost happened.
I was going to say there was that made-for-TV movie, right?
Yeah, than that, that was a real possibility.
I mean, Cher can act. We know that. She's an Academy Award winner. She can also sing. She's also just you know, the life of the party. She's
totally.
She's
no. She'd be tremendous.
Stranger to leading, you know, a group of people and giving them energy and all that. So
she no
to the naked eye, she is somewhere between 40 and death.
Absolutely, absolutely.
And also, like, you know, the first main with just like, you know, long blonde hair instead of the short or the short pixie or whatever.
I mean, yeah. Cher could have a completely... Actually, one of the things that I think is so great about MAME, and I don't know if the Broadway musical fully leaned into this in the original design, but, like, so much of, like, the novel and, like, I think the play is about how she, almost Madonna-style, like, reinvents herself.
Yeah,
with these different eras. You know, the jazz baby to the Art Deco to the bohemian to the, you know... And Cher, more than anybody, could just, it could be a different, complete look every single, like, sequence.
Different gown, different Bob Mackie gown.
That was what I was going to say, is that what I read on that potential Cher thing that was going to happen, I want to say in the 90s, was that it was going to be Bob Mackie doing the looks as well. Yeah. I didn't think about that. It is in the book where it is like, this was in Auntie Mame's blank stage, like when she was doing this. Yeah. Oh, that's so fun. Yeah, I love that.
Yeah, I guess they kind of
Here's
like
my
the
favorite so far.
In the Roz movie, like, you know, there's the different interior design.
Totally.
Every scene or whatever. All right, Benji.
Okay, so my first choice for Mame is somebody I have never thought about for the role until today. But it is someone that I have been saying for 20 years is the greatest musical theater talent of their generation. Mm. And it is somebody who I think, despite having a Tony Award and a very large Hollywood success, has not actually found the role that displays everything they can do in the most satisfying way. And they've gotten a little bit of like a bad break in terms of being a joke on the internet due to a recent television run that they did. But I maintain that there's nothing basic about them. And they are Sada Ramirez. And I think that Sada is fierce, fabulous, can be completely glamorous, but is also extremely bohemian. And Sada, I think, has the intellectual heft to do those innuendos, but really has the warmth that I just think, like, you know, part of the reason I wouldn't want Bridget to be Mame, for example. I mean, Bridget is so warm, but I can't, when I watch Bridget, I'm always going to be about Bridget. I can't imagine it being about Bridget loving, you know, Bridget can love her dog, but we still just want to be about Bridget. And
yeah.
I think that Sada, I think there's actually like the quality could be that, you know, against the odds, Sada is the caretaker for this little boy. And would just, I don't think Sada gets the credit that Sada deserves for that Patti LuPone level volcanic belt richness that would, you know, just the score has never been sung the way Sada would sing it.
I love that. That's a good choice. And I mean, I would also, I mean, this would really like to really fuck with the internet. I mean, with Kim Cattrall as Vera.
Yes.
Kim was actually
born to play it.
Kim was actually on my Vera short list. She would be a great Vera.
I also feel like we could call it Vame.
No.
I don't want to derail the
derail derail.
Well, I was going to say, like, not to like pander to you, but like, do you
pander to
what
me?
What are your thoughts on a Patty Mame?
Well, obviously, I am first in line to be there for it. But like, you know, it's funny. I've for so long I wanted that, like when Patty was in her 60s. And people would say that she was wrong for it for various reasons, which I would then have to fight about. Or they would say, you know, she's too old. You know, kind of along that line of reasoning of like, you know, Mama Rose has to be able to be a mother, you know, a biological mother to these little girls, you know, and all this shit. And I would just fight it. And then the last couple of years, I've really found my confidence to stand up to people and be like, no, Don't give me that like xenophobic, ageist bullshit, you know? And I want my women in musicals, the older, the better. Just give me a fucking corpse and I will put her in the show.
Yeah.
But somehow I think like me being strong and saying that out loud in a little way, it's sort of like, it let it all flow out of me.
It was like an exorcism.
Yeah, it really did. And now I'm kind of like, maybe she should be in her 40s, you know? And
yeah.
and like, I don't know, you know, Patty also like, I've seen Patty in everything she's done for the last 25 years or whatever. And like,
well, you've made that abundantly clear.
I don't want there to be any confusion about it, but I feel like Patty is best when she surprises you in the role, you know?
Yeah.
And when it's a little bit like every gay in New York is like front row, just being like, I want to see how she does it. You know, it's like she kind of sometimes is disappointing in those tracks.
I think that's true. I think that's, it's like maybe a disservice. Yeah. I mean, I think at some point she would have, there would have, like Patty at the exact right age would have been obviously spectacular, but you're right. It's not necessarily surprising. And because Patty is kind of, you know, like punk, because she is, like, yeah. you want to see her do something surprising.
Yeah. Sorry, just back to Patty on it for a second. Yeah. Her performance in Pal Joey at Encores.
Yeah.
I will say that she really proved, you don't necessarily think of Patty as like coming from like a like verbal, like intellectual place. She's not a Christine Baranski or even an Angela Lansbury.
Right.
But she definitely like scored very big in Pal Joey with all that like upper class, like sophisticated comedy that like he would be like, yeah, we saw you. We saw each other in Chicago. We were seeing a play. It was, I think it was The Man Who Was Coming to Dinner. And all her lines were like, oh, you do you?
Yeah,
and it was
yeah.
Like every time she was like flawless. So yeah. That does, thinking about that kind of makes me want her, but I stand behind what I said.
Mm. Yeah, I get that.
What about a Bernadette name with Patty's Vera? I was just
about to say. I actually think Bernadette would be a more interesting Vera than Mame.
Totally agreed. Like she was on Ugly Betty.
Yeah, I mean, I love like a Bernadette, like icy, bitchy.
Yes, Bernadette's so good. Very cold girl.
She's always been cold. I mean, I don't, like, I just never feel that Bernadette has like a maternal quality.
No,
just don't see that in her. It was what was missing for me for her in Gypsy. And honestly, like she was so incredible, obviously, in Into the Woods, and we all think of her as definitive. But watching Heather Headley at Encores, who like, she didn't quite get the comedy the way that Bernadette did. Although the vocals, I have to say, were like the greatest you could dream of anyone singing it. But also like the maternal quality. I mean, like when she said, I was just trying to be a good mother, it wasn't like a laugh line. It was like, oh my God, this is what we all feel from our parental failures. You know, it was so much pathos. And I don't think that Bernadette like gives that quality, you know.
Although in Mame, maybe we could get it out of her if we replace Patrick with like a terrier, you know. I feel like she really loves animals the most.
I love that. That's what about a Mame where Patty is Mame, Bernadette is Vera, and then the rest of the cast are rescued dogs.
Yeah, like a very like Muppet movie format where it's just like there's two humans and then the rest are just animals.
Brilliant.
Yeah, I mean, the minute you say Muppet movie, I'm like, would Miss Piggy be a decent name? And I don't think...
Well, she'd be a Vera for the ages.
Vera.
No, I think Miss Piggy as Dolly Levi is like the thing that, like, why have they not done a Hello Dolly with the Muppets? Like,
Jeffrey, that is your fucking gig. Go make that happen.
Right? It would be so good. I think, I mean, it would be like... isn't about Hello Dolly though, but I do think Miss Piggy would be a good Dolly Levi.
But it would actually be, the Muppets would be perfect for Mame because you could have like the one star at like the human star as Mame, and then you could have Piggy as Miss Vera, you could have Kermit as Miss Vera, Yeah. And then you could have like Beaker or someone as Patrick. And then you could have
Patrick should be little Junior Kermit. What's his name? Robin.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And Fozzie the Bear in drag is Gooch.
And then, and then Janice can be someone.
Yeah, I was just trying to think about who Janice could be.
She's the wrong type for Gloria Hobson.
Yeah,
she is, unfortunately. But yeah, no, I think you're right that Bernadette nodded Mame. Patty could have been a Mame, but it's a little like on the nose.
Patty would be a great Vera if they were to do it for real. Like, if Meryl did Mame, Patty's like a dream Vera.
Mm-hmm. Totally. And I think, would Meryl be a good Mame?
Meryl's a good everything.
I think Meryl would be, yeah.
Yeah, you're right. She'd be a good Mame. You're right.
Some other ones I had, of course, Marilyn May. I mean, I would have loved to have seen Barbara do it, just to have her in something else. Another kind of like stunty thing I thought of for Mame, Vera, and Gooch would be Goldie, Bette, and Diane.
Who, though?
In my fantasy, it was like Goldie as Mame, and then Bette as Vera. But if Bette is like pissed about that, they could do it like back to back.
Diane would be such a good Gooch.
Diane would be such a good Gooch,
really fun.
Yeah. She's like, I love my part. You guys fight it out. I'm happy.
Totally.
I'm the nice one here.
Wasn't there talk of Goldie doing a Mame at one point as well? Like a Mame movie or something with Goldie?
Maybe. I mean, it's such a loss in a way that, you know, after that like non-Chicago movie that Goldie just never did anything. And she really should have.
She was also in talks to do
the workshop of the movie when they did that reading in the early 90s of Into the Woods as a movie, which Cher was the witch, Goldie was the baker's wife.
Right. But I mean, like, you know, Into the Woods is Sondheim. Like, why didn't she ever do anything? A Hollywood Bowl concert, a studio album, a TV movie. I mean, I guess it's not too late for some role in something, but also Goldie's one of the ones whose face is like no longer castable in human roles.
Yeah, right. True. Isn't there an album? Doesn't she have an album?
From like the 60s, and it's like, it like makes you like really appreciate how good Liza Minnelli's pop career was.
Well, that was another one I thought of was Liza. I mean,
Liza would be great.
We talk about you said you want a corpse to do it. I mean, what about Liza just being wheeled out, just a Mame in a wheelchair?
Yeah,
Liza and Gaga sharing the role.
Yeah,
I'm fine with that.
A memory piece.
Yeah, it's like three tall women. Throw what's her, Glinda Jackson in there as well.
Yeah, always.
Oh my God. Just like the opposite of a Mame type. Just like so withholding and cold.
Mm. Liza would have been a great Mame. Again, I think Liza would be a better Molly than Mame.
Totally.
Do I?
Yeah.
Yeah, I do.
Yeah, you're right. No, that's so true.
It maybe in some universe Liza could have done Mame, but much like Barbara, she's so far into the persona that it's hard to cast that as Mame. But unlike Barbara, now I could really see Liza like a scheming Dolly trying to pull it all together. I mean,
absolutely,
really could still happen.
Liza's always scheming to rewrite her own history. So
Screw it.
Oh my God, we did it, guys.
We done did it.
I could do this all day long, you guys.
I know.
We'll have to bring you back for another cast off.
Yeah, what are your other favorite shows to Dreamcast, Jeffrey?
Well, I mean, obviously I keep trying to steer it to Hello Dolly, so I guess that.
All the lady shows.
all the lady shows. I could get into an Annie Get Your Gun. I really love Annie Get Your Gun. I've got the DVD of the Mary Martin production right over here.
As
one does. And I controversially think that Mary Martin is a better Annie Oakley than Ethel Merman. I listened to the Mary Martin Annie Get Your Gun and the Mary Martin Hello Dolly probably more than most albums. Is that weird?
But no, that's because Mary Martin has like a wonderful, pleasing voice.
That's true.
And we can't get the idea in our out of our head of like bald 75-year-old Ethel Merman being like, "Folks are dumb, we're hot."
Yeah.
You know, but imagine like young Ethel when like she still had like a waistline in the little like suede outfit, just like filling the theater with like her like just balls.
Not bald Ethel Merman.
Bald Ethel Merman is such a good image.
So I love it. I'm going to go to sleep with that one in mind.
Always.
Wait, but I will say though, pleasing vocally, I love her Moonshine Lullaby because she like actually mixes for the first time in her life.
Beautiful. Yeah. Beautiful. Beautiful.
Beautiful.
So those shows. I could do it with basically any of them though.
Love it. Right. We'll definitely do a part two.
You guys hear that that Justin Timberlake might be replacing Hugh Jackman?
Yes.
No, that's crazy. Wow.
I think that's so fun.
I mean, it's crazy to think of how I love that, but it's interesting to think how far Justin Timberlake's star has fallen that he's now going to replace he's replacing Hugh Jackman. Because he used to be, like, the number one, like, celebrity, you know?
But that kind of, it's like when Reba replaced Bernadette. Like, I feel like there's a certain level of star. Like, if a Broadway actor replaces a Broadway actor, it's not as good as if they originated it. Mm-hmm. But when, like, somebody who's, like, from a completely different medium, like, Justin, like, could just as easily, like, lead to, like, you know, a TV version based on his triumph. I mean...
Right.
Although I think he's so wrong for it in the same way that Hugh is.
Yeah,
like,
I agree.
I really, like I said, I want Ryan Reynolds. Like, I want someone that's going to be, like, using their charm to steal the money, not someone who just desperately wants to tap dance.
No, yeah. Harold Hill, you need those, like, those layers, you know, of, like, he's smarter than them. But weren't we just talking about Justin Timberlake in another role? Didn't you dreamcast him in something on one of our episodes?
We were doing Little Shop, and I thought he'd be a good dentist.
Yeah.
I see that. Yeah, I think he'd be great. Yeah.
And Jeffrey, I know that people can still follow you on Instagram. Are you on any other social medias for the fans?
I think that's the only one. I think that's the only one. And Grindr when I'm in your city.
And Grindr, and you're coming soon to a city near you. Well, it's a shame because the whole reason I got onto Twitter was to stalk you and all your hilarity. So are you still on
Twitter?
I mean, who knows where I'll be when this podcast comes out, but as of today, I am.
Oh, what a frightening place. But well, thank you for having me, guys.
Yeah, thanks for joining us.
All right, well, I'll see Ben. I think I'm going to see you in Fire Island soon. Are you going to be there too, Daniel?
When?
Memorial Day week.
Oh, no. No. Right. But you guys have fun.
We'll work on you.
I do love it there. I'll be out there at some point.
Yeah.
Cool. All right. See you guys.
Bye, y'all.
Bye, Jeffrey.
Thank you for tuning in to Cast Offs the Podcast. If you're in New York City, come visit us every Monday at 8 p.m. at Club Cumming. A big appreciation to our good Judies, composer Billy Reese for the Cast Offs theme song, and to the wonderful photographer Austin Ruffer for our Cast Offs photo. Check them both out online. See you next time.
They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com.
If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. And there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard.
So you were being crucified over here, but yeah. Not there.
No. No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.